Imagine that you were told that you have only a short time to live. What would you most want your family and community to remember about you? It's a difficult thing to decide, but next Julie Bierrock will tell us about a place in St. Louis, Missouri, where hospice patients are given help and guidance in crafting the messages they leave behind.
Suzanne Doyle sits quietly thumbing through a stack of books and photo albums she helped create. She's a middle-aged woman with a soft-spoken demeanor. Doyle is the founder of Lumina, a program at BJC Hospice that helps patients leave statements that go beyond a simple goodbye. Her eyes begin to moisten as she recalls a recent patient, Courtney Strain, who died of brain cancer last summer at the age of 25. In the months before Strain died, she met weekly with Suzanne, where she revealed one constant frustration. Strain said she felt like an outcast, that people didn't know what to say to her, so they said nothing at all.
I said, you know, I'm thinking, Courtney, that you can be a teacher. You know what people, not just your age, but all dying people need. You can be a teacher. And I wonder if together we could come up with some kind of teaching tool.
The teaching tool they completed together is a simple guide they called What You Can Do When a Friend Like Me Faces the End of Life, and it's Courtney Strain's statement on how to treat the dying. Becky Brooks is Strain's mother. She says Lumina gave her daughter a voice at the end of her young life.
You really need someone outside the scope of family and friends to help you and to be a sounding board and for you to say the things that sometimes aren't so nice to hear. That was very empowering for her.
Experts say honoring someone's life and legacy has always been part of the hospice philosophy. There are 25 volunteers with the Lumina program, and most are not trained medical personnel. Instead, they're storytellers who learn how to interpret dying people so they can help them leave tangible statements of values and legacy. Books, CDs, photo albums, letters. Volunteer Susan Kissinger says it's difficult and emotional work. She helped a middle-aged ALS patient write a series of letters for his wife and kids before he died. But Kissinger says it's a gift to be let into hospice patients' lives.
There will be times when the emotion will rise up, and just breathing through it and letting it go. And that is, I guess, a gift that I have to offer, is that I can just be present there and accept the gift without being overwhelmed.
As expected, volunteers often form deep bonds with hospice patients. Connie McIntyre met with 84-year-old Adele Durant once a week for about 8 months. Durant grew up in Mississippi. Her sister died at a young age, and Durant lost all contact with her nieces and nephews, which was a great source of sadness for her. So Connie McIntyre got in touch with the local paper in Durant's hometown, and it ran a photograph of Durant's lost family.
Within days, she started getting phone calls from various people who knew the family and who were sharing information, and then eventually from family members. And she reconnected, which was one of the highest joys of her last months.
From summer to fall of 2009, Adele Durant was able to talk and visit with her newfound family. In her final recording dated November 12, 2009, she expressed her gratitude to Connie McIntyre.
My life would not have been what it is now if it hadn't been for her, because she brought my family together. With me praying and she called in the company, getting the pictures in the paper, because I really didn't know how to do it by myself. That's what you call a friend.
Adele Durant died on December 1st, 2009. Her recordings were given to her family as a legacy to be shared with future generations. I'm Julie Bierrock, St. Louis Public Radio.
Julie Bierrock is now a producer and the morning newscaster at KWMU in St. Louis, Missouri, and her stories have been featured on NPR's All Things Considered and Day Today.